Good morning, little church. Good to see all of you here, and you are the lucky ones. Now you know why we have it nice and cool in here. It's a blessing being in here, but also it's going to be a warm one today. So just stay safe. I've got my small little water jug in case I need it as we go through here. So last week I was surprised. When Travis got up here for the youth and children's blessing at the second service, because he announced that the next book that the youth are going to go through, that he's going to take them through, is the book of Ephesians. And the reason why I was surprised is because that is exactly the same book that the men are going to start going through a week from Tuesday, is going through Ephesians. Travis and I never talked to each other. So I'm like, God is at work. And then when Jeff told me that I was going to preach today, I'm going to be preaching today and also 2 weeks from now, it was very easy for me to decide, what do I want to preach on? Ephesians, because that's what we're going to start going through as a men, what Travis and the youth are going to go through themselves. I realized as I was preparing that this January will be 40 years of me being a Christian. 40 years. You can guess my age. But 40 years of being a Christian, and you know the word, the 40 in Scripture actually is a number that means trials and testing. You know, and so I'm thinking, well, yeah, I've had plenty of those trials and testing over the last 40 years. But the thing that has consistently kept me going over these last 40 years has been how many times I have been surprised by Scripture. How I've been surprised by what it says when I didn't know it said that. Or it says something different I had never seen before. And even 40 years now, I'm still being surprised over and over again by Scripture. And what I want to do today is take you through my latest surprise and see whether you're surprised by looking at a passage of Scripture that I had never really seen what it says as I did when I started to go through and study that. And so today we're going to do that by looking at the beginning of Ephesians, the first couple paragraphs of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Ephesians. It is, you know, we're going through Philippians. Jeff is going to really close off Philippians next Sunday. But Ephesians is right before Philippians. And it's on page 976 if you want to grab your yellow Bibles. Red Bibles that are right in front of you. And I want to start by looking at the very first verse, the very opening of Ephesians, because even in this first verse, there's some surprises that you may have not known before, because this is how it opens. So the very first verse of Ephesians opens with, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, here's what's interesting, is that when you go back, you know, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of manuscripts of the New Testament. And so a lot of times when they're looking at which ones do we consider the priorities, they always go back to the ones closest to the time Ephesians would have been written. And when you go to the earliest manuscripts of the letter of Ephesians, it doesn't say who it's to. It doesn't say to Ephesus. There's actually a blank there. And the reason why there's the blank, they believe, is because Ephesians is different than Paul's other letters. Ephesians is what's called a circulating letter. Most of the other letters that Paul wrote were what's called occasional letters. They were to specific churches at specific times with specific problems. The letter of Ephesians is very different. It was written by Paul as a letter for all churches, and I will say ultimately even for us today of all time. And so there is a blank there. And so many of the manuscripts fill that in with Ephesus, but a lot of them, it was just blank for the church to fill in their own name. So that means we can put our name in there. So we can put in there that Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Little Church by the Sea and are faithful in Christ Jesus. So right there, it's like, wow, this is different than some of the other books where this is really designed. It is to us today. It was written to those churches in the Asian region minor back, the Asia Minor region back then. But today it's all written for us and is for us. And I think we're going to see that as we walk through. So what we're going to do today is we're going to start at looking at verses 3 through 14 in chapter 1. But 3 through 14 is also a little bit of a surprise because it is only one sentence in Greek. It is 202 words long. We, in English, break it up into sentences because I think we would have a hard time reading a sentence for 202 words. Your English teachers would say, no, you can't do that. But ultimately, what we're looking at in 3 through 14 is one sentence. So if you ever want to say, what verse do you want to memorize? Tell someone, memorize this one verse, this one sentence, which is actually really 3 through 14. But what we're going to do today is I'm going to read 3 through 14 to give us a sense as to what this whole section's like. Today, though, we're only going to look at one verse, verse 3. So 3 through 14 forms an introduction, or what will become an introduction for the rest of Ephesians. But as we see today, verse 3 actually becomes like the introduction to the introduction of 3 through 14 through the rest of Ephesians. So I'm going to just start by taking a look at and reading 3 through 14 so we have a context of everything. This week we'll deal with just one verse, verse 3. 2 weeks from now we will look at the rest of the verses 4 through 14. So this is what it says. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Amen. I want to make a note just in the last part here. It says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." It is in hearing this word and receiving this word and accepting Jesus as our Savior that we become partakers of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know him today, listen to the words of Scripture as we walk through. That today you may say, today is a day you believe in him. So we're going to look at verse 3. So let's start with that. So I want you to notice, and I think we have it up there, this is the whole verse that we're going to be looking at. Notice it says, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I want to walk through each one of these lines because it is so rich as to what is being revealed here. And I want you to think as we go through, what surprises you about what we're going to look at as we walk through this verse? So it starts out with, blessed be. Some translations say, praise be. What does it mean to say, blessed be God? What does it mean to say, we bless God? Well, that is exactly what Kiana has been leading us this morning into doing. But I want you to listen to what Daryl Johnson says. He is a professor up at Regent College. He wrote a book on Ephesians. And this is, I really love how he captured what blessed means here. He says, blessed involves the hands and the knees. The Greek word is eulogetos, used to translate the Hebrew barak, a word involving the posture of kneeling. To bless is to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect. To bless means to come before another, go down on one knees, stretch out one's hands, and offer a gift. To bless God, therefore, means to come before his presence, kneel in adoration and submission, lift up our hands, and offer a gift. To offer the only gift we have to offer our whole selves. And that's what Kiana was leading us into today and having us raise. She said, use your body. Really? When we're talking about blessing God, he wants us to use our whole bodies. He wants us to raise our hand. He wants us to kneel. It's a little hard to kneel in the church. In fact, I've noticed as I'm getting older and older, I can kneel, but getting back up again, a little bit harder. But we, with our whole bodies, praise God and worship God. But I want you to look now at the next line. Who is it that we worship? We don't just worship a generic God. I want you to notice it's very specific who we worship. We worship the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, when you call someone on their phones and you listen to their voicemail, hopefully they identify themselves. Hi, this is Greg. Please leave a message. Well, you can almost think like here, if you were to call God on his phone, and he was to answer, he would say, hi, this is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our God identifies himself uniquely as the one whose Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've ever thought about that before, that's how God the Father identifies himself. And that is because there is this inseparable relationship of the Trinity between God the Father and God the Son. They are in a relationship. It's very important to know this is a personal relationship, a relationship with two persons from before time even existed. They were together in this relationship of the Father and the Son. The Gospel of John is a, if you ever want to understand this relationship between God the Father and Jesus, his Son, read the Gospel of John. That is really what the Gospel of John is all about. It is all about this relationship that exists between the Father and the Son. In John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. God has only one Son, Jesus. Now, he also has many children, which is us when we come to faith in him. But to listen also then to what Jesus says about this worship. And to the Samaritan woman, John 4:21-23, Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. He is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And listen to what Jesus answers. I who speak to you am he. Right there, Jesus identifies himself as the Messiah, as the Christ, who God is identifying as the one who he is, the one we worship is the one who identifies himself, God, as his son being Jesus. So you see this just inseparable relationship between the Father and the Son. But what is fascinating is that notice what happens in our verse next. We bless God the Father. Immediately as it says we are blessing him, look what happens with those blessings. It turns around where God blesses us. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Why do we bless God? Well, as we do, even today as we are worshiping, God, as we bless him and worship him, he is there blessing us. And I love what Daryl Johnson again says about this. He says, blessed us, the same exact word is used in blessed be. We bless the God who has blessed us. God has come to us. Think about this. God, I love his visualization here. God has come to us, knelt before us, stretched out his hand to us, and given us a gift. Actually, lots of gifts, which is what we're looking at in Ephesians right now. The living God has come to us in Jesus Christ. He has gone down on his knees in Jesus Christ. The living God has opened his hands and given us a gift of himself in Jesus. Like, wow, exclamation point. And with Jesus, he has given us everything else we need to be all God has made us to be. Amen. Listen to that again. Jesus, in Jesus, he has given us everything else we need to be all that God has made us to be. Now, we often think, I don't know if you do, but often the way we talk about Jesus Christ is we talk about him as someone who lived 2,000 years ago, someone who died on the cross for us to forgive us our sins. But a lot of times we think of Jesus and the work of him is in the past. What I love about Ephesians is Ephesians is showing us who Jesus is today, where he is today, how we can have a relationship with him today. That is really what the whole book of Ephesians is about, is to let us know we have a relationship with that living Christ today. And that is why the next phrase, it says in our passage, it says, right after saying that he blessed us in Christ. I think Jeff's even talked about this. This phrase, in Christ, occurs hundreds of times in Paul's letters. It is the phrase Paul uses where you can just replace that with in relationship with Christ. It is really saying everything that's in Christ is because we are in a relationship, an active, personal relationship with the living God. And we're going to look more about that as we walk through here. But now we are in this relationship. God is blessing us. Obviously, I think one of the questions we should ask is, he's blessing us. What's he blessing us with? And that's what he tells us next. He tells us what God is blessing us with when we're in relationship with Christ. Every spiritual blessing. He is blessing us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. I can't emphasize enough, not some, not a few. Every spiritual blessing that we need in this life to live in Christ, to get through the trials, to become more and more like Christ, every spiritual blessing we need to do that is something that we have now. And that is what Ephesians is all about, is to tell us what those blessings are and how we can partake within those blessings today. But every one of those is something that is available to us now. Now, you probably hear, I do, you hear the word spiritual thrown around a lot. I mean, Christians or not Christians, that word just has become used. It's like love. It's become used over and over and over and over again. In Scripture, spiritual really has two primary meanings. When it is used about the Holy Spirit, when it is used in relationship to God, in relationship to Christ, in relationship to believers, late Gordon Fee, actually wrote a whole commentary on all this and was an expert in looking at this about the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, is really when we read spiritual in Scripture, if that's referring to something we get from God and through our relationship with Christ, you can think of it as more as a capital S. It is blessings that come through the Holy Spirit that we partake in. That is the primary meaning of Scripture when Scripture says the word spiritual, which means it's only those things that come through our relationship with Christ by the Spirit. There is another word for spiritual, and that is when it's used to refer to things that are spiritual that are not of God. Things that are spiritual that are of the heavenlies. Things that the spiritual that are not under the authority of God. Satan, for example. Okay, demons, powers and principalities. In fact, in Ephesians really opens up this whole other world to us. The whole other dimension of heaven is what is being opened up here. And it's saying that there are the spiritual blessings that come through your relationship with Christ. But be careful, because there's also the spiritual forces that are going on that oppose those blessings and oppose Christ. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So there is this other sense of spiritual, and it is something that we have to be very aware of as believers. We don't see it, just like we don't see God, but those spiritual forces are opposing God and are at work. And Ephesians helps to show us again how we deal with those spiritual forces that are not part of God. Now, 2 weeks from now, I will talk about specifically what these spiritual blessings are, because that is what is brought out in verses 4 through 14. Today, I just want to look at some aspects specifically of what does he mean by spiritual blessings? How do we get those blessings? So I want you now to notice something, because he tells us where those spiritual blessings are in our passage in verse 3. What does he say? He says those spiritual blessings that you have available to you today are located somewhere. Notice what it says. It says they are located in the heavenly places. That is where those spiritual blessings are. So we're here on earth right now. Those spiritual blessings are in heaven. How do we get those blessings? Do we have to die and get to heaven to enjoy those blessings? They're located there, but we're here on earth. This is what Ephesians is going to unfold. Because I want you to notice that it says it's there in the heavenly places, but Paul is speaking in the present. He's telling us those spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, which means in heaven, are available to each one of us now. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to get those blessings. How does that work? How do we get those blessings, which I'm sure all of us would like to have those blessings, but how do we get them now if they're located in heaven? This is what Ephesians is going to help us to understand, is where and how we get those blessings today. I want to read two scripture verses to you, which are going to unfold how we get access to those blessings today. One is in Ephesians in chapter 2, and the other one is in Colossians. So I want you to listen okay, as I'm reading this, and just think about, okay, so blessings are up there, we're here, how are those blessings given to us? Notice what it says in Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And not only have you been saved by grace, but you have been raised up with him, with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places. Listen to Colossians, says something similar. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died. It's talking about the present time. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Notice what it's saying. It's saying, we're not just here. We are also seated with God at his right hand right now. How does that work? I'll give you an illustration. A lot of times in the summer particularly, we have visitors at our church. In fact, I think we have a few here right now, where they're here because they have a second home in Laguna Beach. All right, so maybe they live somewhere else, okay, outside of maybe even California, East Coast. They have one home there, and they have another home here in Laguna Beach. And so during the summer, during different months, they move and go from one house to another. So in essence, they have two homes. Both those homes are something that they have now, and both those homes, they can choose where they want to be within that home. So they actually have two homes. I don't know if you ever thought about this. That is what Scripture is telling us. Ephesians is saying that actually right now, when we become believers in Christ, not only are we saved, not only are we given eternal life, which lasts after we die, but spiritually, not physically, because obviously physically we're here right now, spiritually we are actually seated at the right hand of God in a relationship with him now, where those spiritual blessings are. It is through that spiritual connection that we have access then to these blessings. It's because we really have these two homes. So when we say, when we come in here and we're here on earth and we are led in worship, when we start worshiping God, something is actually happening whether we realize it or not. We are going, in a sense, to our second home. Our second home in worshiping God, where Christ lives at the right hand of God. Again, that's not happening physically, but it is happening spiritually. So Ephesians is saying, this is the reality now. You're not waiting until you die to get to heaven, because when we die, something different will happen. We will then not be here physically anymore. We will now be, as Scripture says, with Christ fully. Today it says we're hidden with Christ in that spiritual realm. When we die, we will actually be with him. And then one day we will also be given new bodies too. So this is the reason why Scripture tells us to do things like worship him, to do things like put our eyes on Jesus, set our minds on things above, pay much closer attention to what you have heard in God's word. This is the reason why we worship God, why we pray to God, why we read his word. Every time we're putting our focus on Christ, we are spiritually with Christ in heaven. That's why, like Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore, since you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. So I cannot emphasize enough that these spiritual blessings that we are to receive and can enjoy here on this earth now, and actually need to be able to be in relationship with Christ, that we need to become more like Christ, which is the vision of our church. The way we live in that is by being in that second home while we're still in this home. That's why there's so much, you wonder why there's so much tension in your life? It's because we're living between two homes. We're like in this tension constantly. And so that's why Scripture over and over and over again emphasizes, set your minds on Christ. And this also means then we don't have to set our minds other places. All right? It means that we don't have to keep looking for being blessed in other places other than in Christ. It doesn't say these spiritual blessings are inside myself. Let me look more inside myself. Look at me more. Idolize myself. Take care of myself. Focus on myself. Self, self, self. That is our just natural tendency to do. And then we want to look inside ourselves and try to find these blessings that really aren't inside ourselves. Those blessings are with Christ in heaven. And we need to turn our minds and hearts on Him. That's why we do that and emphasize that so much within our church, is to do that so we can be blessed by that. Social media is not the place we're going to find those blessings. Other people who will call themselves Christians, let me just say it, those who call themselves Christians and say, I have this secret knowledge, and I have this special prophecy only I know, and God's only told me, and I want to impart it to you. Here, buy my book. Listen to my YouTube channel. No, those spiritual blessings only can be found in Christ. That's why we have this emphasis over and over again. It is only through Him that we do that. It is why 1 John 4 says, test the spirits. Make sure the things you are listening to, make sure who you're putting your focus on. Are those spirits of God or are those spirits of the powers and principalities? That is this war we're in today, is between the war that's happening in the powers and principalities. We're here on earth, and we have to be careful as we look at each other, whether we're Christians or not. The war is not with each other. The war is not with people who don't know Christ. We are here to bring them to Christ. It is with the powers and principalities in heaven, and it's through the power of the Spirit that we rage at war, not in something we try to do here on earth. So I don't know if this is a surprise to you at all. It was to me. Have you ever thought you too, all of you who know Christ, you all have this second home? You all right now have a relationship with Christ, an active relationship that you are sitting at the right hand of God. And as you worship Him, that is one of the ways those blessings come to you. And in 2 weeks, we're again look more at those blessings. But I want to now turn us back to where we began. When you came into church today, Kiana was leading us in worship. I want to end our time together back in worship. And so I want to have Kiana come up, and I want you to just set your hearts, your minds on Christ Jesus at your second home as you sit at the right hand of God. She's going to lead us in that, then I'll come back up afterwards and close us.
So I just want to lead us in a simple song to bless God. And what I would invite you to for this response out of this word, Ephesians, I'm going to sing the doxology over us, and I want you to just close your eyes. And as Greg and I talked about this morning, enter into a posture of worship. If you need to get out of your seat and kneel, do that. If you need to lift your hands together, at the very least, would you just put your hands out in front of you? Just a posture of receiving. And what I want to do is, I'm going to sing the doxology over us, and as you're ready, I want to challenge us to stand and just begin to join me in song. We're just going to sing through the doxology. Just let the words sink in. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the beautiful thing about worship is, and what we did this morning, is it's not just here and now, it's prophecy for what's to come. One day, every creature on earth will bow to King Jesus. And so, let's sing the doxology and just stand as you're ready and just enter into a posture of worship.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Thine is the kingdom and the power.